If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe, or at least on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
It was January 28, 2011, in Allendale County, South Carolina. For the Badger family, it was supposed to be just another day. But that afternoon, everything changed in an instant. Donna Hay Badger, a 35-year-old mother of six, was driving when she collided with a UPS truck. The crash was devastating. Donna didn't survive. Her husband, Arthur Badger Jr., was left to care for their six children on his own. Grief-stricken and overwhelmed, he was suddenly thrust into the role of sole provider and caretaker. The community mourned the loss of Donna, a beloved mother and wife, but Arthur had no time to properly grieve. He had six children depending on him, and he needed help. That help, he thought, would come from the settlement he received after Donna's death. Arthur hired a prominent local attorney to handle the case, Alex Murdaugh. Murdaugh's name carried weight in the Low Country of South Carolina. His family had been entrenched in the legal system for generations, and he was the go-to attorney for anyone in need of representation. Arthur trusted Murdaugh, just like so many others had before him. The legal process moved quickly, and in 2012, Murdaugh secured a multi-million dollar settlement for the Badger family. But what Arthur didn't know at the time, what no one knew, was that Alex Murdaugh wasn't just handling the settlement. He was stealing from it. Quietly, without any fanfare, Murdaugh and the former CEO of Palmetto State Bank, Russell Lafitte, siphoned off over $1.3 million of the money meant for Arthur and his children. They took it for themselves, leaving Arthur, who was still reeling from the death of his wife, with far less than what he had been awarded. As Arthur tried to rebuild his life, he faced a financial reality that was much more difficult than he had expected. Raising six children wasn't just emotionally taxing, it was expensive. But Arthur thought the financial situation would improve once the structured settlements that had been arranged for his children kicked in. Those settlements were designed to provide periodic tax-free payments over several decades once each child turned 18. It was supposed to offer security, a way to ensure his children were taken care of long after he was gone. But that security was short-lived. Arthur, struggling to make ends meet, made a decision that would later haunt him. In 2018, he agreed to sell the structured settlements of his three youngest children to out-of-state companies known as structured settlement factoring companies. These companies offered small, immediate payouts in exchange for the rights to those future payments. In theory, it sounded like a way for Arthur to get some much-needed cash to support his family in the short term, but in reality, the deals were nothing short of predatory. In fact, Arthur's children received a mere 7 cents on the dollar for their settlements. What was supposed to be millions of dollars for their future was reduced to a fraction of its worth, gone in an instant. And it wasn't just Arthur's children who were affected. Factoring companies had convinced Arthur to sell over $2.8 million worth of his daughter's future payments for just $200,000. It wasn't a deal. It was a robbery. How did this happen? How did a grieving father, desperate to provide for his children, end up losing almost everything? The story starts with a man named Ryan Blank. Blank operated a series of factoring companies through three Delaware-based LLCs. He wasn't new to this game. Blank and his associates had already been banned from doing business in Maryland for pushing deceptive, structured settlement deals through the courts. But in South Carolina, the regulatory landscape was different, and Blank found a way to exploit it. Blank's first connection to the Badger family came through Arthur's eldest daughter, who was 21 at the time. He convinced her to sell part of her structured settlement and then asked her to introduce him to her father. From there, the manipulation began. Blank flew Arthur to Washington, D.C., where he lavished him with expensive dinners, drinks, and entertainment. It was all part of a calculated effort to get Arthur to sign off on selling his daughter's future payments. The deals were pushed through the courts with minimal oversight. In fact, the part-time judge who approved the deals had a track record of never denying these types of transactions. The deals were stamped, signed, and sealed, and before long, Blank and his companies had secured millions of dollars in future payments, all for pennies on the dollar. But Blank wasn't working alone. Local attorneys were involved in making these deals happen, and some of them had serious conflicts of interest. Take Richard Stedman, for example, a North Charleston attorney who represented the factoring companies. He was supposed to be working on behalf of these companies, but his influence extended beyond that. Stedman's former law clerk, Taylor Peace, was brought in to give independent advice to Arthur concerning the deals. Except that Peace wasn't independent at all. He was paid by Stedman for his work, a blatant conflict of interest. Peace was supposed to represent Arthur and his daughters, but instead, he was working with the very companies that stood to gain from the deals. Then there was Martin Harvey, an attorney from Barnwell, who served as guardian ad litem for the Badger girls during the final transaction. Harvey told the court that these deals were in the best interest of the girls and that the money would be used to move the family into a safer home in a more desirable neighborhood. But that never happened. The girls continued living in the same home, and instead of improving their living conditions, the money was used to buy a rental property to supplement the family's income. None of these attorneys returned requests for comment when the details of the settlement came to light, and perhaps that's because the settlement speaks volumes. The defendants in the case, Blank, his companies, and the attorneys involved, ultimately agreed to pay millions of dollars to the Badger family. Blank and his entities alone agreed to pay $700,000, while Sutton Park Capital, the Florida firm that was set to receive the girls' future payments, agreed to reinstate the structured settlements. It's important to note that none of the defendants admitted fault. In the legal world, settling a case without admitting liability is a common move, but as Mark Tinsley, the attorney representing the Badger family, pointed out, people don't pay millions of dollars to settle a case they think they're going to win. Tinsley was the one who brought this case forward, and he was the one who vowed to right the wrongs done to the Badger family. When a reporter first directed him to the court filings associated with these deals, he was in disbelief. How could this have happened? How could so many people have failed to protect these children? Tinsley made it his mission to ensure that Arthur's daughters would get back what was rightfully theirs. And with this settlement, that mission was accomplished. The structured settlements were reinstated, meaning that Arthur's daughters would once again have access to the future payments that had been taken from them. On top of that, an additional $2.3 million was awarded to the family. It's a hard-won victory, but it's one that comes with a bitter aftertaste. While the Badger family may be getting back the money that was stolen from them, the emotional and financial toll over the years cannot be erased. Arthur was pushed to the brink, manipulated by people who preyed on his vulnerability. His children, who lost their mother in a tragic accident, were taken advantage of by a system that was supposed to protect them. And this isn't just a story about the Badger family. They aren't the only ones who were hurt by the predatory practices of factoring companies. In 2022, McClatchy published an investigative series called Cashed Out, which exposed how these companies were taking advantage of victims all across the state of South Carolina. The series revealed a legal system that had failed to protect the people it was designed to help. And it wasn't just adults like Arthur who were being taken advantage of, it was children, teenagers, and even brain injury victims. One of those victims was Grace, a young woman who had suffered a traumatic brain injury when her mother's car was struck by a train. Grace was only 12 years old when the accident happened, and her future, like the Badger children's, had been secured through a structured settlement. But Grace, too, was allowed to sell 30 years' worth of her payments across 17 separate transactions. She spent the money quickly, and by the time her case came to light, she was on the verge of losing her home. The factoring companies involved in Grace's case agreed to offer $182,000 to settle the lawsuit, which alleged they had taken advantage of her incapacitated state. For Sue Berkowitz, director of the South Carolina Appleseed Legal Justice Center, these stories are all too familiar. She represented Grace in her litigation, and like Tinsley, she fought to get back what was taken. This young woman needed this support, but she was taken advantage of, Berkowitz said. We're very happy with this settlement to be able to get her out of dire circumstances. The Badger case and others like it have forced South Carolina lawmakers to re-examine the laws governing structured settlements. Thanks to the Cashed Out series and the legal battles that followed, new legislation has been passed requiring more transparency and oversight in these transactions. Now, factoring deals must be approved by a judge in the county where the seller lives, and the court must ensure that the seller fully understands the implications of the deal. It's a step in the right direction, but for families like the Badgers, it's a little too late. They've already lived through the nightmare of being deceived and manipulated. They've already watched as their financial security was stripped away, leaving them with nothing but the hope that one day they would be made whole again. Now, with this settlement, that day has finally arrived. Arthur Badger's daughters will get back the future payments that were meant for them, and they will have the chance to build the stable future that their mother would have wanted. But the scars of this experience will remain. For Arthur, for his children, and for the countless others who have been cashed out, the fight for justice is never easy. But in the end, it's the only fight worth winning.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.